The Church of the Hollywood Bee Cowboy is happening now. And you're here for all the excitement, my friend. Strap on your six gun or guns. Are you a two-gun person or a one-gun person? I think I'm a one-gun cowboy like John Wayne in the early 30s. And Gene Autry, I think, wore one gun. Roy Rogers wore two, I think. Hoppy, I know, wore two. So you can be a two-gun person. Shoot, you can even stick a gun in your belt. That'd make you a three-gun cowboy. Or you can put one in a shoulder holster, a four-gun cowboy. You be whatever you want to be. I'm John McFlanagan. This is where we get a little weird, huh? This is where we worship, honor, and show love and respect to the men and women who thundered across that silver screen in the 1930s and 40s. Also, a silent film is going to be honored here. We love those silent westerns, man, those silent cowboy movies. They're fast, and they telegraph everything. You don't have to figure out what's going on. They'll just show it to you on film. We love silent westerns. We love all westerns here. We don't do spaghetti westerns, A-westerns, and TV westerns. My friend, Mr. Anderson, who runs theoldcorral.com, if you haven't bookmark theoldcorral.com, please do so. He highlights all the Bee Cowboys, talks about the sidekicks, the directors, what films they did, scandals they got into, who they married, how many people they married. It's all there on Mr. Anderson's site. It's called The Old Corral, oldcorral.com. Check that out. I think it's going to be great for you. I've got that bookmarked, and I know Mr. Anderson. I've emailed him a lot. I've bothered him a lot about things, and he's a really good guy, really good person. This episode, this time around, we're going to talk about one of the B stars of the 19... Well, he actually came in a film in the 20s. I've got a silent film of his here that is very excellent. Came out of silence and made it into the sound film, and didn't have a huge career. I really find the guy special. A while back, ordered 13 of his films. That'll tell you. I built a library on this guy, and I'm a big fan. Now, we talked about Hopalong Cassidy and Bill Boyd, William Boyd, Hopalong Cassidy, the years of Hoppy, 1935 to 1948. This guy's name is Bill Cody. That's his actual name. He's not related to Buffalo Bill. He was born in Minneapolis before the turn of the century, died in the 1940s. He made quite a few westerns. I'd say, I don't have the information right in front of me. By the way, get IMDb bookmarked. When you do The Old Corral, do IMDb. I love IMDb. I want to work there. I want to be part of IMDb. International Movie Database. It's capital I, capital M, small d, capital B. International Movie Database. And they'll tell you, you can find every star there. You can find every movie there. They'll tell you everything you ever wanted to know. I could not live without IMDb. Huge fan of IMDb. I've written a lot about Bill Cody. And I've written a lot about a lot of people, especially Bee Cowboys, on IMDb. Of course, I've written about Charles Bronson and Death Wish, my number one film. I love Network with William Holden and the guy. You know, I'm headed to here. I'm not taking it anymore. Yeah. I love Network. But I really, really enjoy the Bee Westerns, and those are the movies that have captured my heart. I've studied them for about 30 years, so I'm a big Bee Western fan. Bill Cody came out of silence. He, like most people, A lot of guys, Hoot Gibson, Yakima Canutt, the big stunt guy who also did silent westerns, and he worked with John Wayne in the early 30s on the Lone Star films. Keep coming back to John Wayne, don't we? Got to do an episode on John Wayne. Doggone it. I got to get that done. Early 30s. We don't really care much for John Wayne after about 1936. He starts getting into that Hollywood thing. But 1930, the big trail to 1936, John Wayne's got it. I'm not a big fan of his politics. I'm a Vietnam vet, so we Vietnam vets are kind of persnickety. We don't like just everybody. I didn't like John Wayne and his gung-ho Vietnam stuff. He wasn't over there. He did do the movie Green Berets, but that's a whole nother subject. Anyway, I was talking about people in the silent film. There's Yakima Canutt, Hoot Gibson. These people, a lot of them started as rodeo people. Tom Mix started as a rodeo guy in Oklahoma, with Big Branch in Oklahoma, and they brought him out to Hollywood to consult for such and such, and the next thing, Tom Mix names up in lights, and this guy is making $20,000 a week or whatever. Holy cow. Tom Mix made some money. Had a wonder horse called Tony. He was a big deal. A lot of these guys came out of rodeos, but not Bill Cody. Bill Cody was I think he was a stage actor that kicked around with an acting troupe. There was a lot of that, you know. We're talking way before television and, oh my God, DVDs and CDs and all that stuff came along. We're talking back there when you went down someplace and watched some people on stage, and it was a big deal. That's how William S. Hart started, the guy who was like the second big movie star. The movie stars were all cowboys at the beginning. Hollywood started with the cowboys. It started with a great train robbery in 1903 made by William S. Porter, and then Bronco Billy Anderson came out of the great train robbery, and William S. Hart followed Bronco Billy into the he started about 1915, right in there, and up to Tom Mix, who went through the 20s and end of the 30s. He did some talking pictures, not that many. And then you have the Big Cowboy who came along. The king of the cowboys, really, Gene Autry. 5 stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He's the only person with 5 stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Gene Autry, Hoplon Cassidy, always number two. Always. Bill Boyd, always number two when they did the box office surveys. Then Gene Autry went into the Army in 1942. Roy Rogers stepped up. He'd been at Republic since 1938, so he had about 4 years under his belt. And Roy is just such a sweet man. I got to meet Roy Rogers, shake his hand. I got to see Dale Evans. Oh, what a thrill. They had a museum in they lived in Apple Valley, California, close to Barstow, between Barstow and San Bernardino, if you know that country. It's called the High Desert, and they had a museum right on the interstate in Victorville, California. And what happened is my family and I have a daughter, Kelly, and she's 43 now, and I have a granddaughter, oh God, Dylan. I love Dylan. She's 10. Anyway, our last family vacation, the Flanagans saddled up, and we went to Monument Valley in Utah. I had been studying John Wayne and John Ford, and they did 15 or 16 movies in Monument Valley. It's really considered John Ford country. And we went to Monument Valley. Oh, it was beautiful. The last week of summer, September 1992, the Navajo people are so special to me. I thought Hawaiians were great people. I go to Hawaii. I've been there twice. Go to Hawaii. I just love Hawaiian people. Went to Monument Valley. I just love the Navajos. And they all fly the big American flag. I mean, the things we've done to Native Americans, I don't want to talk about it. I don't even want to think about it. But the Navajos love America, and they fly the American flag. I stopped and bought some beads made out of some sort of desert plant. And this girl was selling them to me. She was so cute. God bless her. And I heard this pop, pop. Every once in a while, I hear this pop. What the heck? And I stepped back, and I looked up, and they were flying the biggest American flag I've ever seen. over this lean-to, the Navajos make these things out of shrubs. They make these brush arbor things, and they had a little stand, and they were selling Navajo beads. I love them. Anyway, we'll get back on our bee cowboy trail here. Talk about Bill Cody. Bill made the worst bee cowboy movie of all time, The Border Menace. I swear to God, I watched it and I said, "This," and it's been proven by IMDb. It's the worst bee western ever made, The Border Menace. If you ever get a chance to see it, skip it. take my word for it. It's horrible. 1934. Bill wears a hero shirt. They all had a very fancy shirt. Of course, the other guys in the film, I think they just said, bring in whatever you got. Wear whatever you got. Charlie King and Frank Ellis. I'm a big Frank Ellis fan. These guys wore some stuff that I just went, I can't believe they're on film wearing that. Their vests are ripped in the back. Their shirts are ripped. They usually wore a plaid shirt, the bad guys, and the henchmen, as they're called by film aficionados, the henchmen are always battling our hero. They wore just junk. But the Bee Cowboys always got that shirt with the V front. It's got like a shoelace that laces it up. George O'Brien wore one. Buck Jones wore one. Oh, God bless them all. They look beautiful in their hero shirts. Bill Cody's wearing a hero shirt. It's black, like a satin material. It's got a V-neck. It took me a long time to figure out it has a collar. It is the ugliest thing. And in Border Menace, it's torn behind his right shoulder. And you want to halt production. Can we halt production for 15 minutes? And can somebody mend Bill's shirt? It's ripped. They just rolled. I mean, his shirt is ripped. It's just horrible. It's a horrible film. But Bill Cody, his next film was called Frontier Days. He filmed in Lone Pine, my spot on the east side of the Sierra. Yesterday, I wrote Mr. Bob Sigman. He's now director of the Lone Pine Film Festival, has been for the last 5 years. They just had the 27th year, 27, of the Lone Pine Film Festival. I attended the first time, I think it was the fifth year, 1995. I think they started in 1990 or 1989. And I went in 1995, and I wrote Bob Sigman, and I told him the story. It's very cosmic. I rented a car, and I drove. I wanted to get to Lone Pine at sunrise. I got a big thing about sunrise. I always watched it in Vietnam. When I lived in Phoenix, I'd go up on Camelback Mountain, watch sunrise. I've always had a thing for sunrises. And I got to Lone Pine about sunrise, and I had in the rental car radio cassette player the soundtrack to Sleepless in Seattle. Now, if you remember Sleepless in Seattle and that soundtrack, oh man, is it eccentric, but is it good? I mean, it's got Stand By Your Man, Tammy Wynette. It's got Jimmy Durante. Holy cow. I told Mr. Sigman, my God, Jimmy Durante. And it's got Gene Autry, Back in the Saddle Again, is in that movie. It's in the soundtrack. As I rolled into Lone Pine at sunrise, Gene Autry, Back in the Saddle Again, came on. It was a very cosmic experience because I found out that year, 1995, they were honoring the films of Gene Autry. I said, God sent me here. It was a signal from God. I'm God's messenger, a Lone Pine. Anyway, it was a wonderful time. You ever get a chance to go, you'll love the people of Lone Pine as much as you love the Navajos of Monument Valley and Hawaiians in Hawaii. Beautiful people. God bless them all. Anyway, Bill Cody, his next film after The Border Menace in 1934 is Frontier Days, his best film. And as I've asked before, how you go from worst to first, I don't really understand. But Bill Cody has a little pinto pony. He can whistle for him. That's about all. That's his wonder horse. And His Wonder Horse is not much. I mean, he doesn't untie. You know, Trigger could untie ropes and rescue Roy Rogers from about anything. Not Bill Cody's Wonder Horse. He just can't do it. Anyway, Bill Cody's a very interesting guy. I enjoy his movies. I have, I've got a stack of them. I just found one over here. I was looking for silent films. I want to do episodes on silent movies, and I was going through my films, some of my films. I've got hundreds of films. I can't catalog my films. I tried to catalog, I don't know how many times. I can't do it. It won't work. I just have too many films. I keep track of them. I mean, I can tell you where something is. You want to know where Under Western Stars is? Take you right to it. The first Roy Rogers film, 1938. Take you right to it right now. I know exactly where they are. I know where Tumbling Tumbleweeds, Gene Autry's first feature film. I got it on DVD. Oh, is that special? I know exactly where it is. It's in a very special place. But I can't begin to catalog my films and keep track of them and all of that. It can't be done. There are just too many of them, my friend. Too many of them. Anyway, Bill Cody, in my opinion, a great B-star. When you see him, you'll go, huh? What is John talking about? I call him on IMDb when I wrote about Bill Cody. I said, the little man in the big hat. He wears a hat about four sizes too big for his head. He wears the biggest hat you've ever seen. He's got a cowhide vest that he wears in some of his movies. I think he wears it in Frontier Days. God, I wrote a thing on IMDb. Bill, get rid of that vest. Go out and bury it in the desert. It's horrible. It's a cowhide vest, and it just looks, it looks terrible. I can't stand it. But Bill Cody's got something, and that's what I love about the B-Cowboys. You see them, certain people speak to you. My number one B-Cowboy, Rex Bell, married to Clara Bow, the first sex symbol of Hollywood. She was in the silent film. And Rex Bell didn't make a lot of movies. I really only like Rex Bell from 1930 to about 1936. He's good in about anything, but he just started losing his light. His enthusiasm or something started to dim as the years went on. At the very beginning, Rex Bell is the kind of guy you want to go up and put your arm around his shoulder. Hey, let's go have a soda down at the Rexall. Down at the Rexall drugstore. Rex Bell is such a great guy. And Bill Cody is too. Certain people speak to you as you get into the B-Cowboys. Certain people grab you by the heart. They won't let you go. I think of Alan Rocky Lane. I love Rocky Lane. He played Red Ryder for a while with Bobby Blake. We all know about Robert Blake and his weirdness. Boy, is that guy weird. Anyway, Alan Rocky Lane is a great star, but I got to tell you, his movies are plastic. I just can't watch them. The roads are all wetted down. He came along at the end of the B-Westerns, you know, the late 40s, that kind of thing. And I like the early 30s. I like it when they're out there in the dust and they're wearing their six guns. And we'll talk more about the great films with the great stars as time goes along. We're going to wrap it up. That's another episode of Church of the Hollywood B-Cowboy. I'm so excited. I'm so thrilled. I'm so honored that we could be together and talk about these people. I only have one mission in life, my friend. That's to keep these people alive. I don't want people to ever turn around and go, Charlie Sterrett? Who's Charles Sterrett? I don't want them to ever turn around and say, who's Charles King? Charlie King, the bad guy. Blackie, what's that all about? I don't want them to forget these people. When I started doing these podcasts, a very dear friend looked at me and said, why old cowboys? I said, why Elvis? I got to keep these people going. So thank you for helping me keep them going. Wherever you are, send me an email. Just put church on it. God bless you. Till we meet again, until we write again, my friend, the Church of the Hollywood B-Cowboy is adjourned.